Let me just open us up in prayer. And just pray that God would prepare us for what he wants to share with us this morning, that he would challenge us, and that we'd hear him. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for dying on the cross. Thank you what you're doing here in our lives, in our church. And I pray now, Lord, as we speak from your word, that you would use it to change, to mold, to break down any areas that are holding us back from you. Come, Holy Spirit, we invite you, we surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ in our life today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, since we went through a week of prayer and fasting this week, as some of you have known that we spent this week going through a week of prayer and fasting, I thought it was fitting to just share some of the thoughts that have been going through my mind this week. Next week, we will jump back into the Gospel of John. I have a real passion to teach verse by verse through God's Word, so that I would be faced, you and I would be faced with all of God's Word. And so when we came out here, my wife and I, we began with John chapter 1. And now we're in John chapter 13, some of the most incredible words of Jesus. To me, the most incredible words of all of Jesus are in John 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17. And we're beginning that incredible journey through those chapters. But this week, I did think it was fitting to talk about and share some thoughts that I had about the week of prayer and fasting. I do want to thank those that took time from their schedule to come out and pray with us. My wife and I, as we talked about it, we were pleased. It was double compared to last year. It's very hard to get people out to prayer meetings because in our culture, in the church, people don't believe in prayer anymore. They say they do, but their lives demonstrate that they really, truly do not believe in prayer, because the prayer meeting would, if they did, their every prayer meeting would be overflowing with people. But I do want to thank those that came out to the prayer meetings this week. Excuse me one second here. So I do believe that we as a church are going in the right direction. It was very encouraging this week. People were able to open up in our prayer meeting, open up to some of their prayer needs, and we were able to gather around and pray with people. We had people ask honest questions. I felt like I got to know some people better. Well, you know, what's very interesting about the prayer meeting is the prayer meeting has made up a lot of newer people in our church. Came to it. I wouldn't say more than some of the other people, but we had a good group of just new people that came out, and they were regularly at our prayer meeting. So it was very encouraging. The first night, what was great about the first night is I built this rickety cross. I put nails on this cross, and the first night I asked people to seek God, to ask God of anything that's holding them back from you, from him. And they would pray, go up to the altar, write down on a piece of paper, and put it upon the cross, representing what Jesus came to do in their lives. And then the very last night, we had communion together, and we took those pieces of paper off the cross and burned them, symbolizing the idea that God takes our sins and those things that hold us. He wants to bring freedom and throw as far as the east is from the west, and we could walk in newness of life. So it was an encouraging week. But during this week, I recognized something. I recognized in a fresh way that there is a spiritual battle that was taking place in our prayer meetings. To give you an example, the first two nights of our prayer meeting. The first night, I felt, and I had some other people say this, I just felt a very peaceful presence of God. I don't know how to describe it if you sensed the presence of God before, but when you do, you're there, and there's just an inner peace that comes. And we prayed, we confessed, we had an area of praising God, we had an area of confessing sins in our life to God, and you could sense His presence. It was so encouraging the first night. And then, the second night, man, it was hard. It was like we were wrestling to pray. What happened? The first day went good. The second day, what's going on here? What's going on? It wasn't flowing easy. The prayers weren't easy. And it hit me in a fresh way of the spiritual battle that we as the saints are involved in, a spiritual battle. We at here at Grace Crossing Church are in a spiritual battle this very moment. We are in a spiritual battle. And it reminds me of the story in Daniel chapter 10. If you have your Bibles, open your Bibles to John chapter 10. I want to read a passage this morning, kind of to lay the backdrop to the message. Daniel chapter 10, verses 1 through 14. Daniel 10. Let me read this to you. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a word was revealed to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, and the word was true, and it was a great conflict. And he understood the word and had understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning for 3 weeks. I ate no delicacies, no meat or wine entered my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all for the full 3 weeks. On the 24th day of the first month, as I was standing on the bank of the great river, that is the Tigris, I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, a man clothed in linen, with a belt of fine gold of Uphaz around his waist. His body was like beryl, his face like the appearance of lightning, his eyes like a flaming torches, his arms and legs like the gleam of burnished bronze, and the sound of his words like the sound of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men who were with me did not see the vision, but a great trembling fell upon them, and they fled to hide themselves. So I was left alone and saw this great vision, and no strength was left in me. My radiant appearance was fearfully changed, and I retained no strength. Then I heard the sound of his words, and as I heard the sounds of his words, I fell on my face in deep sleep with my face to the ground. And behold, a hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. And he said, O Daniel, man greatly beloved or loved, understand the words I speak to you, and stand upright, for now I have been sent to you. And when he had spoken this word to me, I stood up trembling. And then he said to me, Fear not, Daniel, from the first day that you set your heart to understand and humbled yourself before your God, your words have been heard. And I have come because of your words. The prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, but Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I was left there with the kings of Persia, and I came to make you understand what is to happen to people in the latter days for the vision for the days yet to come. In this passage, there's so much I can say, but I just want to pinpoint a few areas in this passage. First, there was, in verse 2, it says that there was a great conflict. See, we see in this passage, Daniel was mourning and fasting for 3 weeks. He fasted from certain foods, so it was like a partial fast, as we see in the Bible. But Daniel, as he was praying, as he was fasting, was in a spiritual battle. It was not easy. Because by the time he saw the vision, he was wore out. And in verse 8, it says, no strength was left in him. And we see the spiritual battle that was taking place. And I don't even know, did Daniel know what that spiritual battle looked like? Did he know what was going on? Because if we jump up then to verse 12 and 13, it said this. Fear not, the angel comes to him. Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and humbled yourself before God, your words were heard. The first day of what? 24 days. The first day God heard his prayer. But what took place? And I have come because of your words, in verses 12 and 13. The prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, but Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. For I was left there with the kings of Persia and came to make you understand what was to happen to your kingdom in the latter days. So we can see in this passage the spiritual battle that took place as he was praying and fasting. There was a battle God heard, but he did not have an answer. He was withstood for 21 days. Daniel was in a spiritual battle. It was not easy. It was tough. And he prayed and God spoke. As we saw that Tuesday night at our prayer meeting, we had to wrestle in prayer. For Paul's words are so true, Ephesians 6:12 says this, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against spiritual evil in the heavenly places." Do you realize today, this morning, that you are in a spiritual battle? I believe we as Christians are being lulled to sleep. We get caught up in our surroundings. We don't feel good in one day. Thoughts come in. We don't filter them through God's word. We go with our feelings. We go what sounds good. Oh, I feel good. If I have peace and it doesn't prick my conscience, I can do it. Instead of using God's word to filter things. Do we know we are in a spiritual battle? Either you believe God's word or not, and you live differently if you know it. Does a soldier go into battle with no armor, no weapons? No, we must know. And I'm not saying going to, there's an extreme out there. Everything, like there's a devil around, a demon around every corner and all this. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying we need to be more aware because we are in a spiritual battle. If you go to third world countries with Christians, they see it all the time. They see people demon possessed, where there's a lot of witchcraft. They see spiritual all the time. And for them, it's just such a reality. Here, life's good. We have money. People really aren't poor here if you really consider other parts of the world and all this. And we just coast along. And the enemy's like, oh, perfect. Perfect. Do you realize this morning that you are in a spiritual battle? Do you realize and live as if you are in a spiritual battle? Because there are Christians who are walking around defeated in guilt, depression, and shame. And these Christians are in this cycle of defeat, defeat, and defeat. And why are so many Christians in that? Why are they that way? We're supposed to be walking in our identity in Christ. We're supposed to be more than victorious in our walk with God. What's wrong? I believe one part of it is it's a spiritual battle. And we are being hit by the enemy and we roll over as dead. We are casualties of war. Because do we believe? Like I really believe that many people don't believe in prayer anymore because we don't pray. I really just people think, oh yeah, the Bible says that intellectually. But we don't live as if we're in a spiritual battle. Do you live as if you're in a spiritual battle? That was my challenge. To look at things differently through a different lens. Because if we do that and thoughts come in, oh, that's not God. And be able to throw them out. For the Bible teaches that there's a devil. He's a liar. He's the accuser of the brethren. Have you been accused this week? Have you listened to his lies this week? Right? And the word of God also says he's like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour, which is you, me, our friends, our neighbors. Are you a victor in the battle? Or are you a casualty? I mean, let's be honest with ourselves about it. Let's not pretend. It's one thing I appreciate about you guys here. Compared to our church in Clay House, our old church, people kind of always had this fakeness. Here I do, and I know in our small groups, we get to know people, and they're pretty like, this is how my life is, blah. Well, let's do a spiritual inventory now. Am I right? I mean, my wife and I are like, man, people, they throw up on you all the time. It's fine. When we love that, because there's a reality there. Well, sometimes we can be that way, but sometimes if you look at spiritually, it's harder to go, blah, when you look at your own life and say, hey, God, I'm honest with myself. Do I honestly believe in prayer? Do I honestly believe in the spiritual battle? Because if we live it, we believe it. We truly believe it. And the question I have this morning, are you aware of the spiritual the tactics of the devil in your life? Are you aware of those? Because I want to lay out four, and there's many more, but four of the devil's tactic in God's people, in his church. See if any of these fit into your life. If it doesn't, you're perfect. Like myself, right, love? The first tactic. Don't pray. Oh, Ray, you keep harping on this prayer thing. Don't pray. Even though I was encouraged many ways by this week of prayer, I was saddened that more people didn't see importance in it. Because do you realize that prayer is the weapon against the devil? Because when you pray, you're going before the throne of grace, the throne of God. And he's on your side. But we don't pray. Prayer is the key to unlock the blessings of God. Prayer can break the chains of bondage. I know people in this church. I've sat down with people in this church who are going through it and they can barely make it through that week. Why weren't they there? Falling down, saying, God, help, or help my kid, he's in bondage. Oh, God, help! Oh, no. Well, Reed, okay, I pray privately. I'm not a public prayer. In the Bible, you see both. Both are important. And I'll tell you this. Pentecost, the birth of the church, was not birthed by a single person praying. It was through a group praying that the Holy Spirit fell. And we need a Pentecost here at Grace Crossing Church, or let's just fold up and go home. My goal here is not to get a big church. It's a Spirit-filled church who can impact its community. That's what we want. I want a Pentecost, and it's not going to happen. I mean, yes, I know there's history you see where people gathered in prayer. I read about Charles Finney, that there was this man, it wasn't on my message, but he would go 2 or 3 weeks before to pray for Charles Finney. And he'd go there, and one time he was in this boarding house, and the lady said, called Charles Finney and said, hey, can you come? This guy's come. He moved in. He's not eating. It's been 3 days. I listened to the door, and there's some people in there, and they're like, they're like crying. They're crying out like, it's just really strange. And Charles Finney's like, oh, no, they're praying. Incredible things happened through that man, through the people that gathered and prayed. That when that guy died, if the writer of this book is correct, after that, Charles Finney stopped doing what he was doing and wanted to become a pastor in a church. But this man was an incredible man of prayer. Of prayer. There's power in corporate prayer. I believe there's things that happen in corporate prayer that will not happen individually. Corporate prayer is important. And I think it's part of the problem why prayer, people that would say they believe in it but don't do it, I think some of the fault does fall into the institutional church, because the institutional church has moved away from prayer. And when they do pray, nothing happens. Do you want to keep living that way? I don't. I don't want to live with prayers unanswered. I don't want to keep living this life with, I don't see God's power set an addict free completely from his addiction. There are places where that's happening all the time. Why is it not happening here? The spiritual battle. There's things happening in our life that God wants to do in our lives. As a pastor, just I am not content where we're at with prayer. And prayer, until God draws my wife and I away from Grace Crossing Church, prayer will become a more vital part of our church. Even if I'm the only one praying, it will be a part of our church. However we do that. Because without it, there will never be any power. I am willing to enter the spiritual battle. I can't do it without you. I and my wife need your prayer. Will you make the determination of prayer? The devil did not want us to pray this week. As I heard it once say, and I don't remember where it's from, so I can't give the author. For the devil laughs at our working and at our turmoil, but he trembles when we pray. It was a spiritual battle this week, and to be honest, I believe that's for the devil. The devil won in some people's life this week because they didn't pray. Because we gave into his lies. And this is what I mean by that. Did any of this happen this week, a week of prayer and fasting? Maybe it didn't. Man, my life just got busier. Thing I was planning on coming. But man, I got this call, I talked to my friend, or something at work happened, an emergency, things started happening. Do you think all that's just accident? My kids got sick, so of course the whole family has to stay home, right? You can't send one person to prayer because your kids are sick. Thoughts come to mind, right? We've been there. We get that. Oh, I haven't been sleeping well. I might fall asleep if I come. I'm just more tired than normal. I just really need a break. Or maybe you thought of coming, but you started to fear, I don't pray publicly. Will he ask me to pray? No. Or maybe you started becoming or felt unworthy. Like, I need to get my life right first before I begin to pray. You kind of think, isn't prayer where you want to get your life right, you pray? The devil wants to say, oh, I can't come because I have these things. Or maybe you just felt that God doesn't answer your prayers anymore. I've gone to these meetings. I've asked God for things in the past, and he never answered them, so I don't know about prayer meetings. At least thank you for your honesty. But as a believer in Jesus Christ, if you believe the Bible, you must believe in prayer. You must. Excuses come in. Feelings come in. Oh, I'm just not into it. I have other things I'd rather do. Do we realize that this is all part of the spiritual battle? The devil hates prayer and what it could do in our lives, and he'll do whatever he can to keep us from doing it. But the choice is ours. Prayer is a choice. We must make it happen. We must fight the battle to pray. I had a good friend of mine, or a family friend, passed away about 3 months ago. His name was Bob Taylor. I wasn't able to go. We couldn't afford, if I wanted to go to his funeral. So at the memorial service they had for him was an hour and 35 minutes. and they're telling stories about Bob. The pastor got there, and the pastor got up to share his memorial service, and I guess he was asked to be the representing pastor. And he goes, it was kind of confusing because we didn't know which church Bob belonged to. Because Bob would go to all these churches, and not only that, I think, if I remember correctly, it was three people stood up, and they'd stand and say, oh yeah, Bob came to our prayer meeting. One was a Catholic church, one was another church, I forget the other two, and they stood up and they said, this guy just came to our prayer meetings. He'd come, he'd look for prayer meetings and go to them. And this lady's from the Catholic church said, this guy just showed up, he doesn't go to our church, he shows up, we thought it was a little weird, and we were kind of joking, is he an angel or something? And then they said, he was an angel in the sense that he came and he prayed with us. You know how he died? He was on the beach praying. And they found his son was walking on the beach. He was curled up in a position of prayer and he died. Prayer is a spiritual battle. And we must choose to pray. Excuses come in. Feelings come in, but it's a choice. So the first tactic of the devil, don't pray. Don't pray. The second tactic of the devil, and it's called a word, apathy. He wants us to be apathetic, to be kind of lazy in our walk with God. Oh, I just kind of coast along with God. The devil wants us to enjoy our freedom in Him, in Christ, not Him, but oh, enjoy your freedom in Christ and just coast. You know what they call that in Christianity? Being lukewarm. Lukewarm. Do you remember what Jesus said to the church of Laodicea in Revelations 4:15-16. Listen to this. I know your works. You are neither cold or hot. Would that you were either cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I will spit you out of my mouth. Are you cold or hot today? I love what Shad shared about the idea of prioritizing his life this week, of prayer, of refocusing on priorities. If you aren't growing in your walk with God, if you're not going forward in your walk with God, you're going backwards, and they call that backsliding. There's no such thing as coasting. If you're on a river, I'm just coasting. If you're supposed to be going up the river to a certain destination, if you stop going forward and you coast, you'll end up going off a waterfall. And this is very dangerous. I see apathy in Grace Crossing Church. And my prayer, one of my prayers this week, God, wake us up. Wake us up from the slumber of apathy. The devil loves us to be apathetic. In the last... And the third tactic of the devil is isolation. The devil wants to isolate people from the body of Christ. He wants us to stay away from our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Like a herd of sheep, he wants to separate us from the rest of the flock so he can attack us and come down and get us and make us alone. This is a dangerous place to be. We need the body of Christ. And not only does the devil want to isolate people, he wants to also isolate families. There are times where families can become self-absorbed in their own problem, their own needs, and they separate from the body of Christ. They withdraw from the community to focus on their family. And I get that there are seasons of life we do that. I remember a time with Di and I, as an associate pastor in Clay House Church, our kids were acting up. My wife, I think, was having some health problems at that point. And we pulled away for a season to work on us. Right? There's seasons. But it must be only a season. Many families, after going maybe into a season of that or maybe not, they stay in that. It's not a healthy place to stay. It is only meant for a season, and it could be very unhealthy for the Christian walk. Because Christian families should be struggling together with their problems, not alone. That's one of the points of small groups, of getting to the place where we can come and work together through our issues. This next, not this week, the following beginning of November, not November, of course, February, we are starting 3 small groups. The first small group, I'm going to send out more details of it. First will be Bo and Natalie right here. We'll be leading, starting the small group. Diane and I will be smart. They'll be doing theirs on Thursday nights at 6:30 so far. They may be discussing that with the people in their group. Diane and I are looking at Tuesday at 6:30. And then, of course, we have Eric's group, which will be every other Sunday, correct, Eric? We'll be getting more details of the times and when exact, and then that'll be next week for us. And then I'll put in the bulletin next week the exact times and locations, so if you're interested. That's one place to become part of the body of Christ, because we need the body of Christ. And then the last tactic of the devil is this, I want to share about today. He wants us to hide in our shame. People are struggling with sin and addiction in all its forms. Maybe something is holding us in bondage, and we just can't get out of this cycle. The devil wants you to hide it. He wants you to keep it in the darkness, because if you bring it out to the light, God can do something. It is my heart at Grace Crossing Church that we become like a spiritual hospital for anybody. Oh, I want to go there because they're going to pray for me. I want to go there because God's power and people are set free. I want to go there as I am, not pretending. So people could be loved and supported and walking through their shame. The things they do. Or maybe you're you this morning, maybe you're struggling with an area of temptation, or maybe you're struggling with anger or bitterness, or maybe you're struggling with guilt or condemnation, or you struggle with addiction to drugs or alcohol, or maybe you're held captive to pornography. God wants to set you free from that shame. Do you believe he has the power to do that? Do you believe it? Is it my heart that Grace Crossing Church becomes a place where people can be set free from shame? Even the most grotesque things that we don't like to talk about in church. He wants to set us free from it. And it needs to come out to the light. If we have to start men's groups from just men, we'll do that, to walk through shame. Of addiction, of pornography and other things. But whatever it takes, we need to bring it out to the light. And one way to do this is prayer. As you notice, these chairs were not accidentally put here. This is my makeshift altar. I'm sorry. I'm not a great carpenter at all. And it's my desire, Lord willing, for us to get a piece of carpet sometime that we could put out here about a 26 foot by 8 feet out here, so when the kids come down. But I want this altar up here to be at any time during prayer, during worship. If you feel moved by God and you want to pray, starting next week, this is free for you to come up. I'm sorry if we want to be called the pillow church, let's do it. Bring your pillows. You can bring it down until we can find the carpet. Come to pray. And then at the end of the service, when we have a application as we're responding to work of God, I want prayer, we gather around and pray. I want this to become our favorite place to be. instead of where we are right now. If you have the worship team come forward. Have you been listening to the lies of the enemy? Have you been not listening to when he calls you to pray? God calls you to pray. Are you in an apathetic place in your walk with God where you're just coasting? Are you isolating yourself from the body of Christ? Or do you have shame that you're hiding that needs to be brought out so people could be set free? I ask as we sing this last song that you lay those areas before the Lord and ask Him to wake you up, to wake us up, to the move of His Spirit.